what today's big flip-flop in Europe means to the world economy. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, and a vivid sign that European economic growth is petering out, the European Central Bank today announced it's flipping back to stimulus mode. This after ending stimulus only 3 months ago. The ECB will make more money available to lend to businesses while adopting other ways to pump money into those economies. On Thursdays, we like to consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
The European Central Bank, I mean, it's more than a pivot. It's a pirouette. They really switched.
Yes, they did. What we've seen is the European Central Bank is trying to shore up its economy as it softens because it doesn't have many tools if it actually were to go through the ice. The idea is to shore up the ice as much as possible to get through this soft patch we're seeing, not just in Europe, but globally.
Well, globally, for instance, China for sure. The European Central Bank President Mario Draghi pointed the finger at protectionism. I guess that was a finger pointed toward the United States.
Well, it is at the United States. There's no question about that. Tariffs have had an impact on economies, although it is important to note that the slowdown in China, which is the biggest trigger here, began before the tariffs. The tariffs just added insult to injury. If those tariffs are lifted, it will help out a bit. But then Europe is looking at yet another round of tariffs on the clock ticking, with the U.S. invoking vehicle and parts tariffs, which will hit Germany, the backbone of the European economy. So they're really very worried about the protectionism they see already and the protectionism in the pipeline. And it is something that was happening before the U.S. got in the game. We just upped the ante by quite a bit.
Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Many experts fret that the next big financial crisis might be caused by the accumulating pile of corporate debt toppling over. Well, according to the Financial Times this morning, the global overseer, the Financial Stability Board, has begun a review of this massive market in which companies that already have a lot of debt borrow even more. These types of loans can be bundled together and bought and sold. The Stability Board is especially interested in how this debt crosses borders, where different regulations apply. Now, some count names on payrolls, and we'll have the government's tally of those tomorrow for the U.S. Others survey listings for job openings, and a private sector company looks at companies announcing layoffs. On that last measure, February was a terrible month, according to data released this morning. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
American companies announced more than 76,000 job cuts in February. That's twice the bloodletting of a year ago, according to the outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. VP Andy Challenger says these numbers bounce around every month, but one clear trend is retail layoffs.
These cuts have been coming while consumers have more money in their pockets, while the economy has really been booming, yet we continue to see store closures.
Case in point, Payless Shoes will close every store in North America, it's about 2,500, and lay off 16,000 workers. Now, retail woes are partly from online competition, but also from today's worker shortage, which makes labor expensive, says Brad Hirschbein at the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research.
Cost pressures, particularly on wages, are beginning to actually push up and become relevant for a lot of employers, and we're seeing structural changes as a result of that.
He says, don't just watch job cuts, though. Jobs also get created all the time, though employers don't always tell us. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. The trucking industry is facing a major shortage of drivers. The life of the trucker has its charms amid the grind. Well, today a story about a group that's been moving into truck driving by the thousands, Indian Americans of the Sikh faith. From Wyoming, Maggie Mullen of the Mountain West News Bureau reports.
Mintu Pandir has been a trucker for 16 years, but a few years ago, he bought this truck stop in southeastern Wyoming. He says truck driving is an attractive blue-collar job for Sikhs like himself because it doesn't interfere with their beliefs or traditions.
You don't have to go, you know, cut your hair. You don't have to take your turban off, or you don't have to, lose your faith while you're working hard.
In fact, Pandir says days spent on the road reaffirm his faith.
The biggest things in the Sikhism is service, serve other people. So there's no other industry you can better do than serve, because when you drive a truck, you deliver something.
According to Sikhs Pak, a political organization, 18,000 Sikhs became truck drivers in 2017. Still, the American Trucking Association says about 60,000 more drivers are needed right now to keep up with the current demand.
Trucks haul nearly 11 billion tons of freight annually.
That's Bob Costello. He's with the Trucking Associations. He says trucking companies are having to get creative to attract new drivers.
This includes sometimes giving guaranteed minimum pay each week. At some trucking companies, drivers can actually choose their compensation package.
In Indian popular culture, truck driving has a glamorous image. This music video, Sergi Khan's Truck Union, showcases shiny new rigs and a glamorous house. The reality might look a little different, with long hours behind the wheel and stretches of time without sleeping in your own bed. These days, Mintu Pandier drives mostly short distances and spends fewer nights on the road, so he's dedicating more time to the truck stop. He's even started serving Indian food.
Lamb, goat, it's got chai latte, you got mango lassi, you got all the desserts you can eat.
This way, he says, when a Sikh driver stops for fuel, they can also get a meal that tastes like home. In Laramie, I'm Maggie Mullen for Marketplace.
And the healthcare industry has been on tenterhooks, wondering what Amazon, J.P. Morgan Bank, and Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway will do to disrupt their market with their joint venture they have in the works. Well, they'll have to stay on those tenterhooks, because what we can report today is only that they've agreed on a name for this: Haven. Haven, like a refuge or a sanctum. We called it Sanctum. That's not bad. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.